so strong. Humans are programmed to survive. There is no right or wrong way to be. You have to figure out what works for you.
Hey guys, thank you for checking in again to my podcast. Today I want to talk about exercise and how we relate to it nowadays. We live a very sedentary life compared to our ancestors, where we lived in jungles and we climbed trees and we jumped and fell and ran and got into these, our bodies into these different positions and basically kept moving throughout the day. At any time there could be a risk or danger and we'd have to get up and move and run away from it or fight. And that risk, for the most part, is gone. And so what happens now is that throughout a week, squeeze in and 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour of movement, and then we go back to sedentary life. In an ideal world, we would continually be moving all day and be active all day. That's what our energy systems are designed for. Also, for a lot of people, exercise is trying to compensate for eating badly, for overeating, eating too many calories. And so we end up going to the gym and fighting and struggling to work off this excess energy we have stored because our caloric intake is exceeding our output. I mean, no wonder it's miserable, right? We have this excess energy stored in our body in form of fat, and we still want to eat the foods that cause us to store more fat. And so we go to the gym and we try and work as hard as we can to burn as many calories and struggle and suffer. And it always feels like a losing battle. And often people are motivated by the guilt or by how bad they feel about themselves. So they're in the gym beating themselves up, trying to, you know, burn off these calories because they feel like they've eaten too much. And it's just a miserable cycle to be stuck in. If you've been sedentary for a while, exercising isn't going to feel that great right off the bat. You know, your joints are going to be stiff, your cardiorespiratory system's deconditioned, your muscles are weak. And so getting into the gym because you've been motivated by guilt or how you feel about yourself and then try and beat yourself up and work as hard as you can is going to feel awful. You've got to get in there and you've got to challenge yourself, but you've got to build up the adaptations. You've got to challenge the body in a way that you get stronger, but not so hard that you won't come back to the gym and train again. We don't really like to be uncomfortable as humans, as animals. Our body is always trying to get to homeostasis, which for the body is a stable state where our body's at the right temperature and other vital conditions such as water, salt, sugar, protein, fat, calcium, and oxygen content of the blood are all at balance. So the body's always trying to get back to this state. And I think that outwardly manifests itself as comfort for us. So we're always trying to get to comfort the same way our body's trying to get back into homeostasis. Now, in the study of longevity, there's a leading concept, which is homeostatic capacity. How far the body can go from homeostasis, this zone where it's everything's in balance, how far it can go from that and then correct itself or right itself so it gets back into balance. So if you challenge it away from it, it'll correct itself and get back into balance. Go away from it, you get back into balance. And the body, the more you do that, the more efficient the body gets at coming back to homeostasis. Now, if we think of comfort and discomfort, going to the gym, working out is uncomfortable, and so we don't want to do it. But if we get into this discomfort and challenge ourselves in that zone, our body becomes stronger. If we exercise and push ourselves and run and lift weights and challenge our body, the body's away from comfort, but it's getting stronger. So we shouldn't look at discomfort as a bad thing. I feel that so often we're trying to avoid discomfort, where in the discomfort is the next breakthrough, is the thing we want. And we have to go through this time of discomfort to get what we want. We have such a resistance to it that we never actually get there. You know, we also live in an environment where, you know, the conditions aren't great for our bodies to thrive. I mentioned the, you know, we're pretty sedentary, but also the abundance of food. It's pretty easy to go get food now. It's not a risk. It's not a challenge. So we're pretty safe right now. We don't have this motivation to be going out and challenging our body. We have to generate it based on social ideals. or with such an overwhelming feel of guilt that that'll motivate us to go and do something about it. Where really the way we should be looking at it is the body thrives with challenge, and so we should just look for ways to challenge the body and not think of it as a way to compensate for the deconditioned state our body's in or the excess of energy that we got stored in our body. We should wake up in the morning and go, okay, my body thrives with challenge. I want this look, so I'm going to place this challenge on my body, and so it ends up functioning that way. Exercise really is just placing a force on the body that exceeds its current ability, and the body will adapt to meet that challenge. So if I want a certain look, I'm going to place a force on my body, a challenge on my body, that the body reacts to, that meets that challenge and adapts. For example, I want bigger chest. I want my pecs to be bigger, so I'm going to push weight away from me that exceeds my ability, that I can only push a certain amount of times and then I can't do it anymore, and I challenge myself to do it as much as possible. My body will adapt because it needs to meet that challenge, so my chest will get bigger so then I can push more load. So it's really very simple. We have to get clear about our goals, then find movements that challenge our bodies in a way that causes them to adapt into the look we want or the ability we want. If we take on the concept that exercise is for our body to thrive at its best, and so we can perform at our best and we can feel as best as possible, then we got to challenge it in many different ways. There are so many systems that the body has, and we have to challenge all of those systems. For example, cardio endurance. We need to train ourselves cardiovascularly so we can sustain output for a long time. We also want to get stronger, so we have to load our bodies with weight, and so it can react against its weight and adapt. If we just train ourselves in one style of training, we'll become very efficient at that way of training our bodies, but we'll get deconditioned in the other forms. For example, if I just sit in the gym and lift weights, my agility, my proprioception, my balance system is going to get deconditioned. That's why we phase all our programs with our clients. Within a year, our clients will have gone through 6 main phases. If they're an athlete and they have to have certain adaptations for their performance, then that's a different story. We focus on that. Or if they're actors for a role in the movie, they have to have a certain look. That's what we focus on. We also include in there these other forms of training, these other challenges for the body, but there's a main focus. So if you have a certain look, yeah, that's got to be your main focus, but you want to include everything else. So we go through these phases where we do agility, speed, quickness, Olympic lifting. We go through different strength phases, strength endurance, strength, power, cardiorespiratory endurance. Flexibility is a massive part of it, which I'll get into in a little bit. We keep rotating these challenges. So the body gets efficient at it, and then when it's efficient, we have those adaptations, we'll switch the phase, always challenging the body in a different way. And that's how the body thrives, that's how it gets healthy, and that's how it functions at its best. The key word here is challenge. I see so many people in the gym that they want a certain adaptation. For example, they want a hypertrophy in the muscles, they want a bigger bicep, and they pick up a weight and they do 10 reps. But what they've missed is that they should have picked a weight where they can only manage that amount of reps. I see people with weights in the hand where they're doing 10, 12 reps, where they really could, if they really worked, they could get out 20 or more reps. So all they're doing in reality is stimulating that muscle. So neurologically, the muscle's been stimulated. There's a tension to that area, so it's getting some conditioning, but it's not adapting. It's not getting the size and the strength they want. There are so many variables to include that challenge the body differently that has different outcomes. For example, if you do want a bigger muscle, you've got to go through hypertrophy, which what studies show is that that's lower reps, around 6 reps. And so the weight you choose, you have to only be able to do 6 reps. If you're a rock climber and you're going to be climbing this face, this wall, you want to be able to keep climbing for a long time. So the strength you want is strength endurance, which means you have to do very high reps. So the weight you're going to choose is a weight where you can do 20 or plus reps. Or maybe it's a body weight, so you can do, you know, many, many push-ups, or you maximize your pull-ups. But the key here is the weight determines the reps. And the reps that you choose determine the outcome. What outcome do I want? These are the reps that I need to do. So this is the weight I need to choose. And if you pick up a weight and you're trying to get muscle strength, I feel one of the biggest causes of dysfunction is restricted range of motion. So tightness in muscles or connective tissue fascia that pulls the body out of alignment. So for example, if my pecs are tight and my shoulder's tight and it can roll forward, it's the tightness that's pulled it into dysfunction. And it could have got there because of my posture, because I sit in that position, so everything shortens into that position. And now neurologically, my body has set that as the normal position, and the muscle firing pattern has adapted to fire in a sequence that supports that bad structure. And then I go and try and load weight on it, it's going to break down. It's going to get overloaded. So it's really important to get the mobility back into joints and then reset the muscle firing pattern and get the alignment, then load it. There are a lot of other variables that also affect the outcome of your workout. For example, the load, the reps, the speed, the rest, they all make a difference on how the body's going to react and going to adapt. And that's where some of the complexity in working out comes into it. Unless there's very specific results you want, don't let that stress you out. Don't let that stop you from getting the workout. Just think about getting a weight and lifting it as many times as you can, and challenge yourself and push it as much as you can. What happens when you feel weak, when you're lifting a weight and you get weak, the body has started to neurologically damper your ability. It's protecting the muscle fibers, so it's shutting down the nerve innervation to the muscle. So the muscle's in little bundles, and there's different segments of the nerve that stimulate that muscle bundle. And the body will shut them down, so then you start to get weaker. So if you can act against that, if you can push against that, the body will turn them back on and that'll get it stronger. So it's in that work, and that's that last few reps, that really pushing it, that makes the difference. You can cognitively override this subconscious neurological system. And so it's just really by trying to work as hard and fighting against that discomfort and that the body shutting down the muscle firing, it's in that cognitive push that makes a difference. You also got to remember that everyone is different. We have different chemistry, different lifestyle, different plans. So not every program, it's not a one program fits all kind of idea. So you have to find out what works for you. There's some universal concepts. You may not get the exact same results as someone else doing the same workout. Doing the workout is kind of the easy part. At my company, at Altus, we consider the writing the program and training someone is about less than 10% of all that's needed to attain the desired goals. So what is the other 90%? It's really getting to the gym or getting to the, you know, in putting the time into your daily schedule that's needed. And that kind of goes back to this whole idea of discomfort. We don't want to be uncomfortable, and so we kind of avoid that. Even if it's going for a run or going to the gym, whatever it is that you want to, that the adaptations you want, the abilities you want in your body, whatever it is, it's usually uncomfortable initially. And so we don't do it. It's not a priority. We live with very short-term concepts. And so it's what's immediately in front of us is what's important. Not, oh, okay, I want to feel great and thrive and have longevity and quality of life. That's not really important right now, so we don't take the time to focus on it. But when we do have these goals, say you do really have a goal you want to attain, you really want to get fit, what is it that stops you from doing that? And I spoke a little bit about this in another podcast, but it's really, we justify ourselves out of doing the workout. And we know ourselves so well, we know what justifications are going to work. Some of the ones that I use are, I'm too tired, I didn't get enough sleep. I'll do it later. It's too cold outside. I need to rest my body. All these things, they're excuses that come up to get me out of working out. So the idea that I have to take on, if I want to get the results that I want, is that there's no other option. No matter what my body's telling me, no matter what my brain's telling me, I have to still get up and exercise. I have to still get up and work as hard as I can. So really, our lifestyle should be reworked. So exercise is what we're doing all the time, and everything else we're fitting into it. I get that we're not all going to suddenly give up everything in our lives to be exercising all the time, and I don't really believe you need to. I think that's what we're built for, but I don't think that works for our current Western society that we are living in. But we do need to flip the idea that I'm going to go suffer for this amount of time to get these results that the society thinks I should have. You got to take on the look that you feel is right for you, but that shouldn't even be your motivating factor. It should be, I want my body to function as best it possibly can, and these are the challenges I'm going to put it through to get there, and it thrives in challenge. Diet, you have to sort out so you're not overweight and you're not unhealthy. So that's a separate conversation as to how to eat well and feed the cells, and so can get strong and function really well nutritionally as well. So the way I think we should look at it is look at the results you want, look at your lifestyle, and look at how you're going to fit this movement, these challenges into your lifestyle, and then you just got to be consistent about it. Yeah, there'll probably be some things you have to give up, and there's going to be hurdles you have to overcome, the biggest hurdles being your mind, your justifications of why you shouldn't work out. And then enjoy it. Don't stress if you don't make it. If you fall off the horse, don't stress about it. Just get back on. But it's consistency that is one of the biggest keys to getting the results. You have to be consistent. Because if you take some time, too much time between it, you lose the adaptations that your body's been gaining, because there's energy. The body needs energy to have those adaptations, and it wants to conserve energy. So if you take a break, it goes, let's not focus on that anymore. Let's conserve energy so when we need it, we have it stored. So you've got to be consistent in the challenges, in the way you challenge your body. There are so many ways to bring health into your life that doesn't have to be just this short amount of time you've set aside to work out. I believe you should be able to leave your work day a little bit fitter, a little bit healthier each day. And that doesn't mean you got to just put in a workout, but as I mentioned, joint range of motion is one of the most important factors for exercising and for longevity. If you think about it, a big component of aging is restricted range of motion, restricted joints. If you think about it just in gait, just in walking, if I get tight hips and I can't take such a big step, I'm going to shorten that step. So now my body's resetting that neurologically, that's the range of the steps we take. So I don't need that ability to go any further. So now I can't, now I lose that ability to go any further, even if I wanted to, because my body stopped firing that. So then I've shortened the range and now I've got more restricted. Then as we lose that range of motion, we lose the balance, the proprioceptions, and so we are more unstable, and so our gait shortens even more, and then cycle continues until we almost lose the ability to walk. And that's why old people look like they're walking on ice. It's probably started from restricted range of motion. You know, if you think about it in the shoulders too, reaching up, and you stop reaching up, your shoulders get tighter, you eventually lose that ability and your world gets very small. It gets restricted around you. And what we've seen from the study of blue zone states, these pockets around the world where a large percentage of the population is living to over 100, it's because they have purpose. But if you lose mobility, you can't fulfill many purposes. You need to get looked after. And so there's not really a big will to live. So you can kind of, in a way, sum up longevity, quality of life, to joint range of motion. So in the office, if you just focused on flexibility, on range of motion, you're going to have not only be able to work out more easily, because if you think about it, again, going back to restriction, if I'm trying to lift a weight, but I have shoulder restriction, and so not only am I pushing, not only do I have to resist against the weight that I'm pushing, but also against the connective tissue and fascia that's pulling my shoulder down. So I'm working much harder than someone else who has flexibility in their shoulder. And just focus on this flexibility. For example, bending from my hips, or hip hinging. I can lean on my desk with my elbows, with my hips sticking out, and arch my back so I'm not bending in my spine, and just work on that length, the length of the hamstrings. And then when I stand up, I want to use my hamstrings and glutes to pull me up, not my back. So I can just work on something like that throughout my day in my office and leave my office a little bit healthier. I'm going to get more into kind of office fitness in another podcast, and some other places I'll put out there with some photos and things. So make it really easy for you guys to take this on and bring health and fitness, bring exercise into your daily lives. So just make sure that you move daily. Look at each day of a way to challenge your body. It doesn't have to be super aggressive. You can just go for a walk. That's stimulating the body. If you're very unfit or very deconditioned and you haven't even got off the couch for a while, walking is going to challenge you. Your heart rate's going to be high and you're going to be challenged. So that's fine. Wherever level you're at, find the challenge and work within that. The body's going to thrive on it. For diet, a very simple concept to think about is nutrition daily. I need certain minerals and vitamins daily for my body to thrive, but calories I think on a weekly basis. So if I have a big weekend where I eat a lot, I don't need to eat as much those first few days of the week. And so I'm keeping my caloric intake in balance, but I'm getting a ton of nutrition. There's a lot of benefit now that we're seeing from intermittent fasting, which I'll talk more about in another podcast as well. But it's very healthy to kind of let the body recover and repair itself when it's not dealing with food, especially certain foods that we're eating, like these irritants. I hope this helps. Let me know if you have any questions. You can always reach me through my website at paulmvincent.com or my company website. You'll be able to get to me, altus-health.com. Reach out. I'm happy to answer any of these questions. Remove all the difficulty, the stress, and just get out there and have fun moving the body. There isn't a right way to do it. Everyone in the fitness industry is telling you they have the key, they have the answer to ultimate fitness. They may have a great program, but it's usually only one way to challenge the body. So try these programs, work your body out, get efficient at it, but then try something else. And as we discussed, the program is a very small percentage of what it takes to have these adaptations. Think of your day as finding the challenges, make it fun, try different things. Most of all, don't stress about it. You'll see the more you do it, the more your body thrives, and know that it's always going to be, there's going to be this little barrier of your body not wanting to get uncomfortable. The more efficient you are just breaking through that or ignoring it, getting to the other side, you always feel better on the other side. I've taken on a lot of challenges in my life, like when I used to do the expedition length adventure racing, races that are 500 to 1,000 miles, and we're in adverse places like jungles, and we would sleep like 1 hour every 24 hours. It wasn't fun doing it. I would look back and go, wow, that was an amazing experience and I got so much out of it. But in it, I was miserable. And so many times I thought about getting out the radio and calling the helicopter to come pick me up. But I endured it. I stayed in suffering. And I've always said that I wasn't a great athlete, but I was very good at suffering. And so I was able to endure more, and as a result of it, I got so much benefit. It changed so much about my life. I learned that as humans, we always have another level to get to. We have a very restrictive belief system with humans. I think we have a lot more ability than we allow ourselves. And we stay confined in this zone, this comfort zone. But if we break out of that, there is so much on the other side. Your body will feel great. You'll be confident because the results, the look will be a byproduct of your new lifestyle. You'll live a long time. Not only live a long time, you'll have quality of life when you do it. So the next time you don't feel like exercising, start looking at the reasons why you don't. Is it because you don't want to go into discomfort? How's your body justifying yourself out of it? Then remember, it's through challenge, through discomfort that you get the results you want.
Remove the stress and the guilt surrounding